Our first presenter is Dr. Diana Hilfinger Macias, who is a professor at the College of Nursing and Women's and Gender Studies at the University of South Carolina. She is a community health nurse educator and researcher. Much of her research focuses on language access issues, immigrant health, and community-based research among Latinas. Please welcome her. And can I remind everyone to silence your cell phones so we don't get interruptions?
Okay, well, thank you. Boa tarde, buenas tardes, good afternoon. As Greg said, I'm Deanne Hilfinger Macias, and I want to thank the Latino Caucus for this opportunity to present some findings and reflections on the roles of promotores in Enlace, a promotora-delivered community-based physical activity intervention for Mexican origin Latinas. And I also want to acknowledge that the research was supported through the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute grant, and I want to recognize my co-authors. We don't have any disclosures. So this was a community-based participatory research project. We wanted to develop and then evaluate a theoretically based, culturally competent, promotora-delivered intervention around moderate-intensity leisure time physical activity. And our target population was Mexican origin women in two different communities, one the South Carolina Midlands, where I am located, and the other in the Texas Lower Grand Valley communities, where the rest of the team was located. These are two different, but have some similarities. South Carolina Midlands, Richland County being one of the counties we worked in, up until about 15 to 20 years ago, had no Hispanic Latino population. Starting in the mid-90s, of an emergent new immigrant population coming primarily from Mexico, also from Central and some from South America. So the population growth rate was very rapid. Currently, we still have a rapidly growing Hispanic population, but now it's less from in-migration and more from the birth rate. There is a typo on that I just realized earlier. Our Mexican origin population in Richland County is at 45%, not 1.9. And the Hispanic population in the area is between 4.5% and 6%. Compared to the lower Rio Grande Valley in Texas, Hidalgo County being one of the counties we worked in, that's over 90% Hispanic and much more dominant Mexican origin, of course, due to the location. The median age of women in Hidalgo County is a little bit younger than the Midlands County. So that's where we were working. What we wanted to do was using community-based participatory research, identify the kinds of factors that influence physical activity behaviors among Mexican origin women in these two distinct communities. Then we developed and tested an intervention which was delivered by promotores to the communities. And another aim that I'm going to talk a lot about today was to assess how feasible and effective it was to actually engage the community-based promotores as participatory researchers. So they not only delivered the intervention in the community, but they actually participated very actively in the research process. It was a two-year project. Being community-based and participatory, the first phase was related to partnership development. We had development, we had core support teams in both sites, we had program advisory teams, and then at each site we identified two promotoras, Mexican origin women who lived in the community, who had some kind of prior experience doing community outreach and community education. That was our partnership development. The second phase then was the formative assessments, in which we were trying to identify what those factors were that were either facilitating or impeding physical activity within the community. So we did interviews with community leaders. We did focus groups with women who were representative of the communities we were targeting. And we also did things like windshield surveys and other kinds of actual community assessments out in the field. Then we took those data, analyzed them, set our priorities, developed a logic model, developed the intervention plan, and finally got around to training the promotoras on the intervention and recruiting and enrolling the participants and evaluating it. But as you'll see, the promotoras came on board at the very beginning, so they were part of this, and part of their training did include research ethics and research methods. So the kinds of things that they did in the formative assessments helped us identify some key informants for the interviews. With the focus groups, they were out there. They're the ones who identified women who could participate in the focus groups. They arranged the location of the focus groups. We held those at local Hispanic churches. They actually were on the phone making sure that they came. Some of them actually went out and provided transportation. They didn't actually participate in the focus group, but they observed and then helped us with the analysis and interpretation. And they were very important in making sure that those focus groups actually occurred. As we moved into the intervention planning, their input was key to determining which neighborhoods we should focus on. They were also provided input on the types of materials that we were developing, the format, in terms of providing guidelines. For example, we showed examples of a Zumba video, and in Texas, the promotores said, okay, the women in this community, that Zumba video, the dress is a little risque, you need to find something a little more appropriate for this population. They were very key to providing the information on how and where to provide the intervention, timing, not only in terms of days of the week, women's home roles, schedules for picking up children at school, but also in terms of the seasons, during the summer seasons or when the schools were in session, when we should be providing the activities. When it came to actually doing the intervention, again, the promotores were key. So this was a randomized control intervention. So we had an intervention group and then a wait list control group. And the promotores were out in the community. We asked them to identify groups of women. Each promotora identified groups, a group of 15 women in two distinct geographic neighborhoods in their communities. They did the recruitment, they did the screening. So we trained them to screen for physical activity, their levels of physical activity. They needed to screen for any kinds of counterindications in terms of high blood pressure or pregnancy. We didn't want pregnant women in the intervention. So they recruited, they screened, and then when we did the baseline and follow-up assessments, they were the ones, again, that coordinated it, made sure, scheduled the women to come, were there to greet the women. In South Carolina, they did the informed consent with the women. In Texas, the promotores actually did some of the baseline assessments. So then at the follow-up, we had to have other research assistants do that. And then, of course, they were the ones who actually implemented this 8-week community-based physical activity curriculum in which they worked with the women on problem-solving around social support, setting personal goals for physical activity, getting finding kinds and types of physical activity that they could incorporate into their daily lives, and then developing some walking groups that we hoped that they would continue with after the actual 8-week intervention was completed. So the promotores were key to recruiting the 122 women who actually did participate in this research study. So you'll see they did a really good job because we did not have any significant differences in terms of the sample between the sites or between the intervention and control groups. The mean age across the entire sample was around 34 years. Most of the women were either married or in a common law relationship. Smaller percentages were either single or divorced, widowed, or separated. Most of the women were homemakers. About 30% were employed, and there were small percentages who were either unemployed or students. We were focusing on Mexican origin women, so 92% were actually born in Mexico, about 7% born in the U.S., and we did have two that slipped in from El Salvador and Puerto Rico into this sample. The years in the U.S. range, the mean was close to 12 years, but a standard deviation of close to 8 years. This was a predominantly Spanish-speaking sample, and the intervention was in Spanish, and one of the eligibility criteria was that women were Spanish-speaking and understood Spanish. But about 30% did speak Spanish and English at home. Basically uninsured and low income, as you can see from these. In terms of the findings of the intervention, we did both self-report and we did an accelerometer measures also, and we didn't have any significant changes in the accelerometer from pre to post or between the intervention and control. As you'll see here, we between the intervention and control, we didn't have differences pre and post, but we did have significant differences in the mean difference of reported. So the intervention group had reported 3.2 hours of physical activity, moderate to vigorous physical activity pre intervention, and then 9 hours post for a difference of 5.8 hours. And in the control group, although they started out at a higher level of self-report, the mean difference was less. And the difference also was significant in leisure time physical activity, because that is what we were focusing on. We know the women were active in their housework or in their employment, but the intervention was really to increase leisure time physical activity. We did look to see if, in terms of demographics, the only measure that was different was education, so we included that in the regression analysis and the interaction model, but didn't see any differences. But you will see at the top there was a marginally significant difference in total moderate to vigorous physical activity, but a significant difference in leisure time moderate to physical activity. So the promotor's involvement in this entire project was something, it was key to the intervention itself and also to the research process. As I mentioned, their ability to do community outreach, to mobilize the women within their own social networks was a key to us attaining our research recruitment goals. They were the ones out in the community recruiting, enrolling, and then actually providing the women with this educational intervention. Their input around the social and cultural appropriateness of the intervention was important as we developed it, and the high retention rate that we had with the intervention overall and the post-assessment at 84% was really due to their continued involvement with the community and their ability to track down the women in their networks. I mean, those cell phones, they were on them every time we were there. They knew everybody and they knew who could go pick someone else up. I mean, they're really networkers. So we really depended on their networks and their ability to mobilize and work with the community. But there were some challenges, okay? The promotores were accustomed to being out in the community and providing services or providing education. So with a randomized controlled trial design, we had people who weren't going to get this intervention for quite a while, okay? And then with the entire process, you know, this was a four-phase project. We were doing focus groups. We were doing key leader interviews. We were developing the intervention. And we brought them on board early on and said, are you interested in doing this? Would you like to provide, you know, motivate your neighbors around physical activity? And they kept saying, well, when are we going to start this intervention? When are we going to do the physical activity? So they had to be more patient and learn about the research process. We, of course, had two different distinct types of programs, and the promotores in Texas are part of a system. They work at community resource centers with other projects. In South Carolina, they're associated basically with their communities and their churches, and we didn't have the same level of institutional support. But the promotores, in terms of benefit, they did understand now that there are differences when you do a community service project or when you do research. And they themselves then expanded their skill development and their relationships. So they benefited both personally and professionally. I mentioned some of the frustration with the long startup, withholding information. And at the end, when we did an assessment, we found that they themselves lack some of the self-confidence in their ability to deliver a physical activity intervention. So we know now that when we are doing our next project, which is an R01 in the Texas communities, that we are going to provide them more skill development and capacity building in delivering the physical activity intervention. I think some of the implications are that when we bring promotores on for research roles, we need to provide the adequate resources and build that time in so they can come up to speed. We also have to be careful about the consideration of the research design, like randomization and the promotores. So a quick example. We wanted two distinct geographical communities. So one of the promotores in South Carolina, she really had to go outside her own network to get a geographically distinct community. Well, guess which one, when we flipped the coin, it was the group that she didn't have the close ties to that was got the intervention first. And they had, the first week she called, she says, there were 20 kids there to provide childcare while she was giving the intervention. And she didn't have her social network to solve some of the problems. But she had done the right thing. She'd gotten two distinct groups. In Texas, they also got two distinct groups, but the community knew each other. So when we went to do the follow-up, people were coming together in for the follow-up, and they had, their friends had told them about the intervention. So even though we had thought we had things controlled for it, we hadn't. There are certainly some implications in terms of including research-related content into promotora, community health worker training and certification processes. And if you have questions, we will answer those at the end. And I have Deborah Pera-Medina's contact also. She is the PI on the R01, which we are working on right now.